A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yo, son!
1 app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd. It's primal.
And that's raw.
Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits.
Are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. 1 app is life.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And, Sif, and, you want to know what?
Who's representing?
Linden Boulevard, represent, represent, Zen Tribe Called Quest, represent, represent, Zen. The mic is in my hand, I'm never hesitant. My favorite jam back in the day was Eric B. for president.
Step to me, you're over.
Brothers wanna flex, you're not Mad Cobra. MC short and black, there ain't no other.
Trini born
black like me, your long's grandmother. Tipping shot at all that.
Fight dog, ditto, honey, tell you man to chill.
Or else you'll be a widow. Widow. Did not you know that
today's the day.
Can I say something stupid?
Go ahead.
I'm gonna say for, I don't wanna say many years. I'm gonna say for a couple years, I thought Fife Dog was saying his name was Monique.
Instead of Malik. I think you've said this before. It's rather embarrassing.
And I was like, damn, that's, maybe it's like a Caribbean thing. Maybe Monique is like a unisex name in Trinidad.
So you
and
thought,
I remember the day I read Malik somewhere and I was like, oh!
Hey, yo, my name's Monique, the 5 foot freak. No, it's Malik. Malik Taylor. Malik Taylor.
Shout out to Fife Dog.
Fife Dog. Q-tip.
Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
Name all of, give me all of Q-Tip's names if you're real.
Q-Tip.
AKA.
The Abstract.
AKA.
Kamal.
Sure. But isn't it, what's his full?
John Davis.
There you go. And Kamal is?
JD.
No.
Yes, when he battled Old Dirty Bastard in high school, Old Dirty Bastard came looking for, yo, who's that rapper JD?
By the way, did he tell us that story?
No, I heard it on Math Hoffa. No, he might have told, he did, oh, I think he did mention it on our podcast, but I saw it recently on Math Hoffa.
First of all, it's Kamal Fareed.
Kamal Fareed, because all hip-hop podcasts are regurgitated stories that have been told on 1 app years ago.
Saif. Don't say that about the ones that we actually like. Like Drink Champs and Math Hoffa.
I'm telling you what happens. All the people go on podcasts and these podcasts go, yo, what? That's crazy. What happened? I'm like, he already told us that in fucking 2011.
Yeah, I know. It's the, listen, we're cool herc. So I didn't remember that story about ODB. And tomorrow, for the patrons, I'm going to be giving y'all a RZA conversation that I had at Hot 97. And, well, maybe should we just give that to everyone today, though? Where they get both? They have the option to hear Tribe Talk and Wu-Tang Talk
today. Put it out, man. Put it out.
But in the Wu-Tang, in the RZA conversation, which he's amazing in, yeah, he brought up the Old Dirty battling Q-Tip. And I was like, what? I totally forgot. And he was like, no, that's Q-Tip's story to tell. So I was like, oh, well, we should ask Q-Tip. But then apparently he already said it on Math Alpha. But guess what? He's going to say it again.
No, he said it. He said it on ours. But we'll get it again. We'll get the refresh version.
30 years ago.
Fuck. You want to feel old?
I already do. Go ahead.
30 years, man.
Is that the whole thing? I think you need to say something else.
No, no, I'm saying you said 30 years. I said, you want to feel old? But that was just like a little ad lib to what you were saying.
Oh, that was like it was a reverse ad lib almost. I see what you're saying. Bro, I've said this over and over again, and I know it's not that profound. 30 years prior to that, if you were like, yo, if in 93, Tribe was like, yo, let's listen to this album, they'd be listening to albums from 1963.
Yeah, I saw you make that point on your TikTok.
It's not that like, smart. It's not.
I don't know what you're trying to say. Yeah. Oh, it's Rosenberg's 30 years good ago. At math.
I know. You say,
but Rosenberg, you know, is good at math of divisibles of 10.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to really base it. But by the way, make fun of me all you want. Sometimes when I say that, it means nothing to the person. I said it today to RZA, and it was like, so you never know how it's going to affect someone because it is crazy. But it is so basic.
Now I can remember the exact moment where I was when I first heard Wu-Tang Enter the 36 Chambers.
All right.
I don't remember where I was when I first heard Midnight Marauders.
Oh, I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite.
I was in MacArthur High School in Levittown, Long Island. Was she my ex at the time, or was she? I don't remember. The girl I told you about that eventually started dating rappers and worked at D&D.
Sure. Girl. I remember her.
There was a guy, I think he was Dominican or Colombian. I don't know if we had already dated or we were about to start dating. Whatever. She was dating this guy, and he had the Wu album on cassette. He had the Wu, and we were in the lunchroom, and he was like, yo, you got to listen to this. And just fucking put it on and just bring the ruckus starts. Ding, ding, ding. Bring the motherfucking ruckus. And I heard probably like 6 songs off the album before lunch was over. And it was fucking incredible. Like, this is amazing. Because I had put them on the Wu. Because I went to a record shop. I don't remember which record it was. It was maybe Downtown or Downstairs Records.
Shaolin Shadowboxing.
And the I heard Wu on maybe Stretch or one of those stations. Protection Neck, the first time it ever played.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a record shop. First time played, bro. First time.
You happened to be listening.
I went to a record shop and the guy had a white label and he played it. And I was like, yo, I heard that the other night. Who's that? Channel Live? I remember saying, who's that? Channel Live?
You thought you sounded cool.
I didn't know what it was. And he sold me one copy, white label. I still have it to this day. It's one of my most prized possessions.
Of Protect Your Neck?
Protect Your Neck. And After the Laughter on the other side. Not Method Man.
So, but it's not literally a white label, though. It's the yellow label, or you have an actual white label?
No, white label with Sharpie written on it.
Oh, you have the actual Tears white label.
Yes. And then I got the one with the orange Wu-Tang label, orange yellow. And then the Loud Records one came out.
Here's an interesting, first of all, I enjoyed that story. Second of all, we got to call Q-Tip. We're going to call Q-Tip here in a minute.
Okay. I love Q-Tip.
By the way, I sent him a link to be like, can you join StreamYard? And he just wrote, call and connect me. I want to be like, that doesn't make sense. What you just said. I mean, I know what you mean. Okay. I'm going to call you. But you know, what's interesting about Enter the Wu-Tang? It's one of the most legendary albums of all time. One of the greatest albums of all time.
You're just stating regular facts.
I'm stating regular facts, but hold on, I'm getting there. It's not an easy song, in my opinion, an easy album, in my opinion, Syph, to remember the order of songs, like to say them out loud.
The order? The track listing?
Yes.
Impossible.
Isn't that bizarre?
I've had so many different iterations.
I don't even think this is right, bro. Like, I'm looking right now on Spotify, and I'm like, this isn't right.
I've had so many iterations of if I took certain songs off and put them on my iPods, on my phone, and I left some songs out, and then sometimes I go listen to it on streaming so I can listen to the whole album straight through, and I go, I don't remember this being after this. Like, it's like a compilation album, but it's a group. It's weird.
So they have a clean one on Spotify, wrong order. That's wrong. Then they have Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers, expanded edition.
What's that mean?
I don't know. It starts off correct, though, right? Bring the Ruckus,
Bring
right?
Bring the Ruckus.
That's correct.
Yes.
So and we know this is right. And then track two, this is right. That's right.
Shame on a what?
I'm not sure. All right, so let me look on Wikipedia to make sure this is matching up with what's listed on. Shame on a. All right, so Shame on Us 2. I probably would get that. Yeah, I might get this Syph song 3. Up from the 36 chambers.
It's the ghost. It's a ghost. Just random shout outs. Wu-Tang and the bees, we're on a swarm.
So that's
I always wanted them to rhyme on that beat.
So that's Clan on the front. The next song, Syph, I would never remember the name of. Wu-Tang Seventh Chamber.
Oh, I don't even know the name of the song.
Seventh Chamber.
Yep.
Then it's Can It Be Also Simple. Then it's Chess Boxing. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. Cream, Method Man, Protect Your Neck, Tears. And there we go.
Oh, it's called Tears?
Tears is last.
After the Laughter?
Yes.
I think on the original white label I have, they wrote After the Laughter.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's familiar too. But here's what I'm saying is interesting about that is we're going to call Q-Tip in a second. As we celebrate 30 years since the greatest day, in my opinion, in the history of hip-hop. And I'm so lucky I was 14 years old at that time. What a great time to be a 14-year-old kid finding music. But how about this? Intro, Stirred Up Steve Biko, award tour, then the Fife joint, went to Carvel to get a milkshake.
What? 8 million stories?
8 million stories. Then Sucker.
Sucker what? Shame on a Sucker?
Then Midnight.
Hold on. That Sucker N-Word is a very, it's a weird song.
We should, you know what? We should talk to Q-Tip and ask him about it.
Yeah. All
right, like what exactly he's trying to say is kind of complex. Like,
yeah, it's very complex.
But the point is you remember, then Midnight, then We Can Get Down, then Electric Relaxation, then Clap Your Hands. Like you know, I know the order so well.
I don't think I would know the order of that either.
You don't remember anything. What are we even asking you for?
I have a weird memory.
Yeah, you do.
I remember a lot of shit, but not that kind of shit.
Let's just call his regular cell phone, see how he sounds.
Yo.
Hey, The Abstract.
What up, man?
Happy 30 years.
Thanks, a Syph with you?
Yeah, I'm here. Happy 30 years, Tip.
Aries,
brother.
Man, we're being real emotional today, bro.
Why?
This is a very important day for us.
Is it today?
Well, when we're recording this, yeah, it's tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
But for the people listening, yeah. There you go.
It's show business stuff. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, okay. No, you know what's funny? I wish Bobby was... I should... Hit RZA real quick.
I just saw him an hour ago and talked about you. Literally just saw him.
Saw him where?
He came up to Hot because he's promoting their documentary thing, and his you know, he's playing.
Oh, okay.
He's playing this week at Gramercy. I'm gonna go tonight. He's playing at Gramercy with the symphony Enter the Wu-Tang.
Okay. Yeah.
What were you gonna say, you know, though? What were you gonna say? Why did you say you should hit him?
You know, that's my bro right there. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we kind of came in at the same time. Him with he was at Tommy Boy, and he had "I Love You, Rakim," and he used to move around with Mel Kwan a lot. And Mel Kwan back in the day used to move with Hog and Pick and Pig and Dog and all these dudes from Brooklyn for Fort Greene with Kane. I'm going real old school, but
as you should.
That's what we're here for.
I just remember always seeing RZA, and then, you know, then seeing Genius put his joint out, and then, you know, just getting that 12 inch the first time and bringing it back to Fife's crib and us listening to it like, yo, this is crazy. Like fan. You know what I'm saying?
Which 12 inch you talking about?
The first joint.
Protect Your Neck.
Mm-hmm. And just to be able to share this day with him, you know, it's just a lot, you know what I'm saying? And then the
You were very busy on November 9th, 1993. You were concerned with a lot of different things. When did you first listen to 36 Chambers?
Probably a couple of days before.
Oh, before?
Yeah, I heard a little bit before. Mm. You know, because RZA was my man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Dirty. Like, we have history. You know what I'm saying?
All the way back to high school. RZA said you guys went back to high school.
Yep. Back to high school days. He was in the Staten Island High School. I'm trying to think of the school Dirty went to.
In Brooklyn.
Was it Erasmus? I can't remember. But my point being is that it's just great to share it with them. You know what I'm saying? And that week after Snoop dropped his joint, Doggy Style, it was just such a monumental time, I think, that period for hip-hop.
What else came out? Was it Outkast? Outkast was around that time, too?
Well, this specific month was Tribe, Wu-Tang, Snoop, Del the Funky Homo Sapien, No Need for Alarm. I remember that very well. Souls. I think Souls was right
Outkast,
around then.
Outkast wasn't out yet.
Yeah, a little before Outkast.
I thought Outkast was 93.
Yeah, ATL and Ziz. ATL. Southern Playlistic is
94.
It's 94, yeah.
94. It's the same year as Mob.
April 26th, 1994. So,
Tip. Okay.
So that means Nas and Outkast dropped the same month, though, which is crazy.
Yeah. And then Mob was out that year, too. I'm working on a documentary between the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to talk about, it's going to be my first one that I've directed. And it's going to be pretty monumental. Been working on it for a couple of years now, but it talks about all of that. But to the point of, I guess, why I'm calling is that I hate you both.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to come up there and set you both to flame.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
And, why is this?
And, I don't know.
Why not, Syfe? Why not? Wait, can you, even though, so RZA told me, and obviously you mentioned this in the Math Hoffa interview a while back, that you battled Dirty and RZA.
I battled Dirty, and RZA was beatboxing for him.
And Dirty got you?
Yeah, I mean, because it was funny.
Well, he must be a tough matchup in that way, because he's so charming and funny with the way he does that.
Yeah, it was hilarious, bro. I just remember after us just like smoking that Thai Black after, drinking some Brass Monkey underneath the Brooklyn Bridge. And we just was cool after that. We just see each other around and just like, yo, you know what I'm saying? So it was just the community, man. It was something that I cherish. I'm just blessed to be able to not only do this, but to share it with them. It's just a special day. So all y'all listeners out there, if you haven't yet, go listen to Tribe, The Name of Riders, Wu-Tang, 36 Chambers, same day, you know what I'm saying? Like, for us specifically, you know, to hit 30 years, and, you know, I love, you know, my guys, obviously, but missing Fife, you know, it's just, it's bittersweet.
Yeah. Are all these things are now bittersweet, huh?
Yes, it's really bittersweet, man. It's hard because, you know, I can empathize with artists who are, I guess, a part of a unit, and one of them are gone and they still move on and stuff. You know, the music is the saving grace, because you get to relive in that moment when you're performing it, you know, posthumously. You get to relive it. It becomes animate again, you know. But then the bittersweet part is that they're literally not there in a physical sense. So, you know, music, that's why we're all so drawn to it, right? Because of the aspect of it that we can't really touch it. It's not tangible, right? Mm. It's like we commit ourselves to these instruments, these microphones, these pens, these pads, and we put these songs out, and they move people. But the minute that you pick, you know, turn it off, it's not there, but it still stays with you. So it's a very ethereal relationship that we all have with music, as music lovers, as music practitioners, and all of that. So when you have things like milestones, they're like birthdays or anniversaries, they're there to remind you of the grace you've been afforded, the blessings that's been placed upon you, and the value of, if you feel like you're not in a great position, that you have a anniversary, birthday, or something like that, to know that you're still here and that you could do better.
You've been famous your whole life, like since what, 19?
Man, I've been doing this since I've been 18, man. So practically all my adult life.
Have you ever had a regular job?
No.
Like a fast food joint in high school or junior high or anything?
No.
That's crazy.
You're a lifer as a musician. That's pretty wild.
You got to understand, Tip, like any time someone who's maybe not as much as into hip hop as we are. Like, I remember I was taking improv classes and my improv teacher was like a nerd about everything. He was like, give me 5 albums that I should listen to get my brain going into this hip hop world. And 2 of those albums I suggested are Tribe albums. Of five albums. And when people ask you, Q-Tip, when people ask you, are you a Low End Theory or Midnight Marauders, are you able to even answer that? Because that's a debate that's never ending. Never ending.
You know, it's fodder for the conversation, right? But I don't really think, I don't know. It's just weird for me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just be, I'm a blue collar dude, man. You know, I just try to hear the call, take heed, answer, and do music. And like Big says, stay low, keep firing. You know what I mean? I try not to really, you know, roll around in the rummage of yesteryear. Even though it means a lot to everybody and a lot of different people for different reasons, that's what it's there for. You know, we're in servitude to it. So I feel like I kind of diminish the good service by standing on feats of the miraculous, so to say. You know what I mean? So
right.
I never tried to, like, you know, let the ego overtake it, you know, because there's still work to do. There's still more to come. You know what I mean?
You really are the definition of that, because you never stop working. I mean, like the amount of stuff that you must have recorded with different various amazing artists and just stuff you've made. I can't imagine it. And do you have it organized at all? Or is it, is it just, what is it?
I've had a lot.
Like
I have stuff that I've done with, Rock Marcy and,
I mean, am I speaking out of school? Am I speaking out of school? I can delete it if you want me to. Am I speaking out of school and saying, I know you have records with Mac Miller in your stash?
Yeah, I do. And Mac, man, RIP, that dude is such a sweet, sweet kid, man.
Yeah, the best.
When I met him, the first thing he did was show me his tattoo. I think it was Beast Rhymes of Life or Tribe or something like that. But, you know, he's so talented, man. Jesus Christmas. This dude sing, play, all of that stuff.
Did you know, were you surprised when he did like Swimming in Circles? Did you know that he had that much like musicality in the stash?
Yeah. I mean, when we were labbing out, you know, he was telling me he used to play guitar and piano and all that stuff. And so, you know, we have a couple of joints that we did. I wanted to get it to the family.
Do you know where they are? Like, if you wanted to go find those, could you go find them?
At some point, yeah, I can.
Okay, so I want to spend a little bit of time while we have you on the phone.
Life of a hoarder.
Yeah, well, it's good hoarding, though. I mean, it's wonderful hoarding.
Bro, if you saw what I've been going through now, because I moved my records, took them out of storage, and trying to put them in my... I'm the hoarder, bro.
And it's not. It's just.
The thing about vinyl right now, mm-hmm. vinyl is back heavy.
Yeah, but yo, these. I went to a vinyl shop. They wilding with the prices, wilding. Yo.
No, yo, no, they it's not wilding. It's like, yo, bro, it's not even that they wilding. It's like, bro, it's like it's just a different time. You feel me? So
it's a whole different thing.
It's like. A lot of people who buying it now, they don't really even be playing them. They just collect it. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, if they catch something like sealed, like you catch a sealed. I went to this one joint like a month back on 54th Street, and they had a sealed Radiohead album like on the wall for like 200 things. Like I was like,
okay, computer. But
no, it was the one after.
Wow.
Everything that's crazy.
Yeah.
Nah, what I've been told is the sealed vinyl is where it's at, bro. Sife, you have a lot of. Sealed vinyl is really where it's at.
I don't know. That's like, it's like buying sneakers, like the rare sneaker. Like, it's hard for me to keep records sealed because I want to play them. You know what I mean? I just got this joint the other day. Oh, Q-Tip can't see. This is a joint right here.
What is that, Sife?
What is that?
This is the Dancing and Singing for You Starfire, the baddest five stars in the galaxy.
Oh, put it up. You see, put it up. Oh, yeah.
I got it. I have it on my table.
What is that? Because what is Starfire? I don't know what it is.
It's like an old funk joint.
But as I'm about to record this into Pro Tools so that I can make MP3s and listen to it on my phone because I can't find it streaming anywhere.
And that's the thing. The streaming services don't have everything. You know what I'm saying?
They have a lot. They have all your albums, right? Let's say that. But they don't have all the remixes that you guys put on the vinyl when the singles came out. And certain freestyles and stuff, man. That's the stuff that I wish would be on those services.
Well, you know, I'm a little bit indifferent about streaming. But yeah, I feel like you know, the part of the thing for the appreciation thing, why you know, I'm more inclined to vinyl is that you get to go on that mission, you know what I'm saying? You get
the best.
Go to the store and go through the bins and then put your hands on it and like have a physical relationship with your music and then find it. Like, oh, I got it. You know what I'm saying?
And then have an appreciation of the artwork. Like, artwork doesn't mean anything anymore.
I know.
And, like, opening up a jacket and going through something like, which by the way, can you tell us what was the impetus for the Midnight Marauders cover with all the heads? Why did you guys decide to do that for that one?
Just because, you know, we were really trying to deplore the energy of unity. This is as simple as that. You know what I mean? Like, just, you know, that we all, like, this competition, right, is healthy, and you see somebody doing something, you know, you want to do it. You know, you could be inspired by somebody, but part of the inspiration is that you want to be able to do that and do better. That's just the human tracking, right? And no matter what it is, you could see LeBron playing ball and be like, yo, I want to do that. But you look up to them, but you want to do it so that you could do better or be as big, you know what I mean? So there's that aspect of it. But to bring it to its foundation is that, you know, we all stand on each other's shoulders. You know what I'm saying? So if there was no public, if there's no Chuck D who was on there, or if there was no RIP, you know, Ecstasy and then Jalil and Grandmaster D, you know, if there was no Flash who was on there, if there's no MC Light who was on there, or so on and so forth, we wouldn't be, you know what I mean? So that was just the sentiment of it.
Tell me if all these names that I see listed somewhere are correct. Tell me if one's not correct. Third Base, Afrika Bambaataa, AMG and Ant Banks, Beastie Boys, Awesome 2, I remember that, of course, Black Moon, Busta, Casual, Chia Lee, Chubb Rock, Chuck D, Cold Crush, Daddy-O, Dallas Austin, Dell, Diamond D, De La, Dr. Dre, Dougie Fresh, Fab Five, Grandmaster D of Houdini, Grandmaster Flash, Heavy D, Ice-T, Jazzy J, Jazzy Joyce, Jungle Brothers, Kid Capri, Red Alert, Kool Moe Dee, Large Pro, Lytro, Lords of the Underground, MC Light, Neat the Exotic, Organized, Farside, Tumbling Dice, Rashad Smith, Rocksteady Crew, Ron G, Silver D, Puffy, Skef Anselm, Souls, Special Ed, Sweet T, Too Short, and Zulu Nation Supreme Council. Does that sound like the right breakdown?
I'll take your word for it.
Wait, I missed it. What'd you say?
He said he'll take our word for it. I mean,
no, you.
Yeah,
no, Rosenberg.
Yeah, because I'm reading.
I missed what you said.
Which
type are you, stupid?
I missed the names. Oh. What is it again?
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, sorry. Let me start from the beginning. Hold on.
No, shut up.
I always thought.
Yeah, that sounds just about right.
Some of them feel. I mean, like, why Ant Banks and AMG?
Why not?
I mean, I agree. I just wanted to hear you express it. But like, those are artists that, like, what's dope about that is people don't realize sort of how connected the coasts were in this time pre the mid 90s. You know what I mean? Like people didn't have a real coastal bias in quite the same way. I feel like hip hop was smaller. Like everybody just sort of loved everything.
It was definitely more of like a elite club and shit. You know what I mean? Like you had to be nice. You had to be dope to get down back in the day. You really did.
Well, the barrier of entry was so much harder.
The barrier of entry was harder. The people who were at the positions were music lovers. Regardless of how scrupulous late they could be, or at their core, they loved music. Everybody was a music fan. I don't know if that could be said for a lot of the executives today. I don't know.
Syph and I were talking before you came on, Tip. From the outside looking in as a fan, track five, Sucka N-Word, is a complex record. Like we were saying, like it's a comp. Even I remember, and obviously young then as a 14-year-old, you know, white Jewish kid from the suburbs who's, I'm trying to figure it all out. And I thought I understood what you were trying to say, but even to this day, Tip, as I listen to it, it does sound like you're sort of a young person on that record, kind of working through your complex feelings about this word, kind of in real time on the record.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the complexity of that word. It was meant to have kind of like that song was meant to kind of have like an open ended. There was no real, it wasn't designed to be a conclusion, but it was just to make a statement about how offensive the word is, but then how we took it and co-opted and reappropriated it and changed the narration of the word for us, you know, so that the irony of it was that there was something that white people said to black people in a demeaning way.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went to a point where black people started saying it to black people in any kind of way.
Yeah.
And now it's wound up where black people say it to black people and white people aren't allowed to even say it. It started with their innovation.
Yeah.
And now if a white person says it to a black person, you get your ass kicked.
Or get in serious trouble.
That was kind of like the spirit of the song. It started out with white people saying it to black people, and now they're barred from saying it.
It's underrated the beauty of the word when you think about it. That whole thing that makes white people go crazy, like where every few months there's a thing where a white person's like, why can't I say the word? When you think about
I want to help you here because I don't want you to get in trouble.
Oh, go ahead.
The word is not beautiful.
No, it's not. It is certainly not. It is a horrifying word.
Yeah.
The beauty of the complexity. Thank you, Q-Tip, for saving me.
And I wouldn't even say beauty, but the
irony.
Yeah, the benevolence of the irony.
Yes, the fact that white people can't say it is dope. And yet people freak out about it still and don't see it as like a thing. Like, don't you realize white people invented this horrible word that was meant to specifically demean people in a really different and unique kind of way? Because you really can't do an apples to apples comparison with the N-word and any other word. And when people try to do it, you can't. It has a uniquely horrifying Black American experience attached to it. And to then reverse it to now where it seems like they can't understand why they can't say it. Maybe the word is tip. There's something slightly poetic in that. How about that?
Yeah, there's a poetic justice to it.
Which, by the way, you also worked on in 1993. Were you done? You did that after Midnight Marauders or before or during?
I think I may have just finished it.
Impossible, because we heard that you never finished anything.
When was Shut Up, first of all?
He's still working on Midnight Marauders.
when was the Rodney King verdict?
92.
Look it up real quick.
April 92 is my thought. Let me see. Hold on.
Look it up real quick.
Rodney King verdict. All right, you don't trust me. Okay, that's nice.
He wants to get an exact date because he's going to pinpoint where he was in his
April
life
29th, 92.
Okay, so that's when we did Poetic Justice. So, no, I was probably just starting Marauders.
Oh, you did it. So the movie came out in 93. But you did it in 92. Wow.
Damn.
The release date of the movie was... my birthday, July 23rd, 93.
Oh, water will touch the earth.
Water will touch the earth. Q-Tip, I've never asked you this. What goes through one's head when they're starting, you know, acting, you haven't done a lot of it, and you're going to be in this movie, and they give you the script, and they're like, all right, here's how the scene starts. You're in a car making out with Janet Jackson. All right. Do you like immediately give your agent a raise? I mean, that's an incredible start to an acting career.
You sound so Broadway Danny Rose with it right now. Look, kid, I got that great script. Okay, this is how it starts. Yes, the first thing is that it's going to knock your socks off, okay? You're in a car. You're in South Central Compton. And you're
going to be a big shot, kid.
You know Janet Jackson, huh, kid? I'm going to take you all away. It sounds like, you know, it's so Broadway Danny Rose. Oh, my God.
You're so right. You're so right. Okay, fine. When did you realize you were going to be making out with Janet Jackson?
Yeah, that was fun, man. I mean, it was crazy because they wanted me to do Pac's role. And I was just like, I'm not doing that. It's just too much for me.
What, acting-wise, you thought it was too much?
Yeah, because I was working on an album and I hadn't really acted before. And I remember talking to
Lawrence Fishburne. That's a lot Lawrence to get thrown into them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember talking to Fishburne, and Fishburne was like, well, you could do it, but you have to commit.
Yeah.
Ready to commit. And I was like, damn, nigga, no. You know what I'm saying? But it was cool. R.I.P. John and R.I.P. Pac, you know what I'm saying? That was just a great experience. I remember Pac was hot. He was in my trailer. He was like, these motherfuckers want me to take an AIDS test. I think this was after.
Oh, yeah.
This was after, because I was hanging out and I think she got sick. She caught a cold. I had a cold. And she caught a cold. And then I saw Pac. It was at Pac's trailer. I came to the set and then he was just like, yo, they want me to take a fucking AIDS test, man. Nigga, what you do, nigga?
What? Wait,
that story was true? Because that story was always out there. I remember hearing that story.
I never heard this ever.
Yeah, I think it was true.
That was out there.
Is this one of these shows that people take stuff and then clip it and then put it on the internet?
Generally speaking, by the way, no, you're going to somehow switch the mojo and it's going to happen, but generally speaking, you're safe here.
But no, and if we was to clip anything, it wouldn't be that.
Yeah, we're not clipping that part out.
We want to talk about
hip-hop,
bro. You
know how people do that now, right?
Oh, what?
Yes, that's not us. Let me explain to you why we are not successful, Q-Tip, because we don't do that. Because we just want to nerd out and talk about the day Midnight Marauders came out and how it felt. Clipping shit for fucking clickbait and all that, that's not us. And we are
suffering because of it. But
suffering because of it.
But I don't care. I just wanted to hear.
You could go to bed with clean conscience.
Clean conscience, bro.
So wait, but honestly, I don't know if we've ever really asked you about Pac though. Did you guys get cool? Like, I'm sure you already knew him. Did you deal with him? You weren't on the set that long though, right? Like, how many days were you even at doing Poetic Justice?
No, I wasn't, but I mean, I was out there for a while after.
And so you got to know him pretty well?
Yeah. Pac was on me before that. I remember Pac when he used to dance with Greg. RIP. Damn, I can't believe he's gone. Shock G.
Yo, the fact that you just called Shock G Greg is, that's wild, bro. That's how.
Well, that's what we used to call him. But
you called him Greg when you saw Shock G?
Yeah, and then as soon as I said Greg, you heard. Brady Bunch.
Oh, Brady Bunch.
Greg Brady, of course.
I thought you guys said you were fucking nerd.
No, Tippin.
No, I am a nerd. Your whistling was a little shaky at first.
Wow, to hell with you.
Yeah, Tip.
I got it after a second.
Thought it was solid. I thought it was solid whistling. Yo, okay. So you met Shock G and all of them back then. You knew him from when he was a digital underground dancer.
Yeah, money and all him. Yeah.
Well, because De La must have been out with them too.
I remember one. Yeah, we were all. I was staying at the Sunset Marquee, in the piano room in there, and they had just, we had just did Cameo, and we came to LA to do some TV, and Shock was there, and he's like, yo, I'm close to you. So he came up to the room. I remember he was like, yo, the piano room. And he sat down, was playing piano. And he was like, yo, I love all y'all do. All y'all do. We're gonna expand this native tongue thing. And I wish I had the paper. He started doing graffiti. And he put native tongue on there while he was talking. And he's like, yo, because it's like a movement. It's like how what George was doing, you know, had the All-Stars. Like, I know what it is. So it'll be Tribe, Latifah, Jungle, you know, Money B, you know, Pac is going to do his thing. And, you know, and he drew out native tongues with everybody's name on it, and faces and shit. It was so dope. And I wish I had that shit.
Yo, he was an artist, bro. And like, when you really listen, like, he's sort of underrated in terms of producers who like really developed a sound. They had like such, he created such a sound.
Yo, that dude, What You Like?
What?
When that shit that song, came bro. Out, bro. Yo, when that shit came out, that shit was a fucking problem, bro.
This yeah, that's, is, that's, I, what, I that's that one of my favorite some, songs, I hope,
man. That there, I hope that there's some 20-year-olds listening. I hope that you guys out there who are aspiring musicians and DJs and MCs and singers and all that, you guys need to start a community of yourselves, all you like-minded folks. Like, get a club somewhere, no matter where you are. I don't care if you're in, you know, Baton Rouge, if you're in Spokane, I don't give a fuck where you are. If there's a crew of y'all and you know somebody who knows somebody who got a little club or something, a little place, and start a movement, y'all. Start a movement. Mm. Because all the stuff that I'm recanting and recalling with these two bums are birthed out of community and movement. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that right now everybody is, you know, DJing and making music and doing all that stuff on their own. It's, you know, it's do it yourself, which is great. And but usually, you know, they're doing it at the house. And they may invite a homie over or something to hear some shit, and they may go ride, but it's just very insular, you know? Yeah. It's not shared, because then they could quickly put it up and stream it. But you need to have a place where live bodies go, and you invite people, and you can make something that grows, guys. So let's do that, because then you'll be able to say the shit I'm saying some 30 years later, but...
You guys were so connected. There was such a camaraderie, even to the point that tip to bring it back to Midnight Marauders. The first single, I mean, I don't think of a war tour as being like a True Goy feature. But like when you guys were at your absolute hottest, you're coming off of Scenario, so you just had your biggest smash hit. And now, because I was talking to RZA about this earlier. Their album situation was totally different than yours. You guys were fucking...
RZA, it was their first album?
Yeah, and for RZA and GZA, right. It was like a Prove Themselves Again album. And right. For Meth and Dirt and everyone else, it's their first. Tribe, he pointed out, RZA was like, yo, Tribe was out of here. They were scorching. Like, this was...
It's their third joint.
Third joint, and the second one had been so well received. And then as you come with your first single, Tip... You do it with that. We talked community that at your biggest moment, the moment before that was with Leaders, community, your people. And then your next single is with De La.
Right. That was the point I was making about, you know, Shock and, you know, the native tongue thing and, you know, how dope, you know, his shit was and how innovative he was is because I think we all were a part of a crew mentality. If you think back to those days back in New York specifically, and Sife, you know this, you know, we used to move around the city in posses. It got to be so crazy that they used to do news reports. Hi, welcome to Channel 2 News, 6 o'clock. Today, the special report is on the growing phenomenon of posses in New York City.
Wow.
Like they, I remember seeing shit like that. New York City residents are terrified by groups of young African American and Latino men who usually travel in upwards of 15 to 20 throughout New York City streets. Causing, yo, and that's why Sipes laughs, because he knows what it is.
No, and then it continues.
So the thing about posses and crews and all of that, it was like crew. It was a crew thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's your fam. It's the same thing. You could draw the analogy to gang culture. It's about family. It's about no one man is an island, right? Now, there was some nefarious activity obviously attached to all of that.
Bad actors, as they say.
But the thing is that we were all young men and women. Mm-hmm. You know, we was kids. You know, we were 17, 16, 15 years old, so there's not too much. So, you know, we're going to look for the malarkey and shit. You know what I mean? But the thing is about the fact that, you know, we had Chugoy on a war tour, and we did Scenario, and there was Native Tongues, and then, you know, you had NWA, and, you know, they had their crew. And
even you being on Roller Skating Jam called Saturdays, like,
And buddy,
it all felt like family. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, it was community. It was crew. Like, you can make an analogous also to, you know, hard bop jazz era. You know, from like the late 50s into the 60s, you would see a Herbie Hancock album with Wayne Shorter on it, and
all of
McCoy
them,
Tyner. Then you'd see a McCoy Tyner album with Wayne and Lee Dorsey, and you know, they were all interchangeable. And that's how hip-hop was then. You know what I'm saying? But now... No, I'm just kidding. But not really. But it's just like the community has been kind of like smashed. It became about the individual. The individual's accolades. The one person. You know, this whole salvo that's out now is, this is all me. I did it. It's me. I did the work. I worked so hard. Y'all can't front of me. My shit is a classic. You know, it's so eye-centric. You know what I mean? And that's a fallacy. You know what I'm saying?
Well said.
And that's why a lot of this music is short-lived, because you can't really, you find it a hard time to relate to multimillionaires who continually talk about that it's just me. It's me. It's all me. Like, how do you really, like, that fanship is not going to last, because you're going to eventually need somebody else other than you.
Native Tongue and Tribe Called Quest community was, and us growing up, was so thick because, bro, we knew who your engineer was. Your engineer was a star.
Great point.
I don't even know who Lucian is, Skef Anselm, but I heard their names on your records, and I was like, I wonder who these people are. Like, and then, like, you hear, like, when, like, Mr. Long was doing interludes on De La album before there was even a Black Sheep.
Yep.
And Chi Ali is all in there. And then, to the point where, like,
all gum having punk.
To the point where your manager rapped on songs.
True.
Yeah, fucking, you know, Lior with his goofy ass was on Peace Porridge in the Pot.
You right, everybody was there. Involved in some way. It's crazy.
I mean, everybody was down.
Wait, Russell that's Lior? Hold on.
That's Russell. Yo, wait a minute. Russell Simmons is at the beginning of Roller Skating Jam called Saturdays.
He's the
that's
DJ?
Russell talking.
No.
Yo, what's up?
No. Are you serious?
They love Soul Saturday, y'all. That's Russell.
No.
That's Russell Simmons?
Yeah. I remember the day when he was in here doing it.
Holy shit. That's crazy.
Yo, here's a crazy story.
Please.
And D'Angelo always mentions it. We were working on Midnight Marauders the same time that we were working on D'Angelo's shit.
Yeah.
His first shit.
Wow.
So we had two rooms in there, and Wu-Tang, and I forgot I gotta tell RZA about it, I just thought of this shit. Wu-Tang had another room on the side. Because RZA had a few different rooms throughout the city.
What studio was this?
Battery. So they was working on, it was one of the songs on 36, if I'm not mistaken. I got to ask RZA that. Hold on a second. Can I do a lifeline?
Hold on. Yeah. Yes.
Do whatever you need to do.
Yes, do a lifeline. We have to know what song.
This is fascinating. Cypher, are you still reeling from Russell Simmons as the DJ on Saturdays?
No, you know why? This is what Wannab does.
Show, bro.
This is what Wannab does. We nerd out. We dig into the core of it where that shit pops up. Never knew that.
Never in life. I wonder if I look it up, even if it says that it's Russell Simmons, Saturdays, De La Soul.
Because you know it's 5 days of work.
Sure I do.
One whole day to play.
Say peace to the Abbott, y'all.
Bong, peace. Bong, bong.
Bong, bong.
Bong, bong. Saw you earlier, kid.
Yeah, well again and again. What's happening, bro?
Again and again.
Yo, man. Yo, bro. I was just talking about this joint. I want to see if you remember this. Remember when we was motherfucking in Battery Studios and D'Angelo was in there and we was working on D'Angelo's shit and you were, and y'all had, you had rooms all over. You had a room in Battery.
And yeah, because we was doing some of A-Song stuff in Battery.
Yeah, okay, it was A-Song shit. Okay, I thought it was 36 because A-Song was in there. And you was in there and you was like, yo, what y'all niggas working on? It was like, oh, we working with this kid D'Angelo. And you was like, oh, I think you had Bounced or something. And Dirty, maybe you was there, but Dirty stayed and he started rhyming over Brown Sugar.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, I recall that. I did bounce, but I remember because Dirty was trying to get on that joint, but I had splashed out. But D'Angelo came later though, right?
D'Angelo was there. He was there.
Okay. I recall that moment in time, like when us being at Battery, you working on D'Angelo, but I might have splashed out or went to the other room or something. I remember Dirty was trying to get on the joint.
Dirty came in and was like, "Yo, this shit is crazy." Brown Sugar, and the nigga started rhyming over this shit. He's like, yo, engineer, put the fucking mic on.
I was telling him earlier, he was so natural and always, he'll definitely go and just into a shit or a house or shit. Hey, yo, Tiff, we were talking earlier, me and Rosenberg, about this day, November 9th in hip-hop, yo, being a day where two of the iconic albums of hip hop come out on the same day and in the same month with another iconic album, Doggy Style.
I know,
and
right?
I was telling them that at the end of the day, these becomes pillar, like a pillar, like a lot of hip hop is going to be held up because of that. You know what I mean? And if you go back and really check, if you check the data, you'll see that there's not platinum albums ain't coming out on it from the East Coast.
Not like that. No.
I don't even think. There's one in a long time. You know what I mean? And Midnight Marauders and 36 become those. You know what I mean? And triggers the energy back to this side of the world. You know what I mean? Of the culture.
You know what's crazy though too? Is that, yo, bro, I was telling them, you know what I'm saying? You know what it is, I click. It's like, I just be like every day, blue collar, whatever. But the shit still be motherfucking living. Like, the shit just won't go. It won't go nowhere.
It's embedded in the zeitgeist, bro.
It's wild. Right. It's not even just Wu or Tribe or Snoop. Like, I remember last week, I was looking at some shit, and they had a Greg Nice joint in the commercial. Like, an obscure Greg Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, they could be choosing so many other things, you know what I'm saying? Like, but they stick to the script with the era and shit, you know what I mean?
Hey, RZA, a.k.a. Bobby, a.k.a. this is your number one fan, Cypher Sounds. Let me ask you a question, the same question I asked Q-Tip. Your albums came out on the same day. same year, 1993, 30 years ago. When do you remember first listening to Midnight Marauders? Because I'm sure you were very busy releasing your own album, and as the hip-hop fan yourself, when could you have the time to pop in Midnight Marauders? Was it that day, the next day?
Yeah, I know. I popped in Midnight Marauders. It wasn't the next day, but I popped it in that week. We was going between Midnight Marauders, Doggy Style, and it's different because each different members had like Doggy Style, Master Killer, put that in the cassette. He's like, yo, nah. And him and Mep was going crazy over Daz and Corrupt verses. And me, Ghost, and Dirty, you know, we've been on Tribe since fucking, like I said, that Low End Theory album. That shit fucking played to a pop. And so now when the new joint came out, I definitely felt like I heard it within a week of its release.
There is a notice, you know, as I tell them all the time, but I remember, like I just told y'all, because I had heard it a little bit before. I had to get my hands on it, bro. I was stressing niggas, like, I need to hear this. Because I remember getting the 12-inch of Protection Neck when it was the original 12-inch, I think, that you had put out. It wasn't even with Loud yet. I went to Jamaica Avenue and copped it, brought it back to Fire. I was like, yo, nigga, listen to this shit. We was going crazy over the shit.
You got the white, the orange white label? I mean, the orange yellowish label? Or did you get the white label with the Sharpie written on it?
It was the white label.
Bro, I have one copy that I bought with the white. It was just a white label, and somebody wrote
Protection
Neck. First, with Protection Neck and Tears.
Very first. As soon as I heard, I told you I beelined it, B. I was like, yo, what the fuck? Yo, we was just such fans.
Yo,
you know what I'm saying?
Let me just say this real quick, and I'm going to let y'all zone in.
Yeah.
Because I know it's a Sips interview, but I just, you know, I was pretty conceited at that time on my production skill. I was coming, that's it. I was pretty coming to chop heads off. But when Electric Relaxation came on, I was like, yeah, this nigga is deep.
You know what I mean? Yo, tell him what you told me, RZA. Tell him
hip hop never did a they call it a 12-8 or 12-6, or it's called it the flip the ball on the third bar. It never happened in hip hop before. You know what I mean? And he did that, you know, and it was just like, and me and Dirty both was bugging out over there. I kept showing Ghost too. Nah, it's like. Because remember now, when you're young, so it even sounds even more eclectic because you can't, you know, now I know music, so I could define it so easy.
Right.
Then it was just like, and we was like, you know, showing each other, like I was showing Dirt, like, yo, nah, the loop is right here, right there. And so even though the verses is going straight bar for bar, with the three count of the loop.
Right, but it was off a three count. You as a DJ and producer would notice that way more than other people. Cause you know how to where you would chop the loop. So you're like, nah, but it's three, not four. So how do you run? How do you put the bars to it? It's like, and they just did it.
It was wild because it took a minute. Cause niggas heard it when I did it, and he was like, "Yo, what the fuck?" I remember Fife saying, "Yo, what the fuck kind of gymnastic shit could I do to this?"
I was like, "Yo, we should just
do an exchange on this shit. Like, whatever. Like, we can't even think. We gotta think about that when it comes to that. Doom, doom, doom." I said, we got to look at that as the one. So anything that happens, just say what we got to say, and we cut it up to that. You know what I mean? So, but anyway, that shit was just wild. Yo, bro, I don't want to disturb your day, bro. I'm gonna hit you up later so we can do that other thing.
All right? Congratulations. Peace. Talk soon.
Congratulations, baby.
Bro, thank you for everything, my brother.
Thanks, Bobby. We appreciate you, man.
Thanks. Peace.
There he is.
Sorry, y'all. I had to.
Yeah. You know what, Tip? I'm glad you said sorry, because the last thing we wanted on this podcast celebrating Tribe and Wu-Tang was to hear from the founder of Wu-Tang. So you should be sorry.
Yo, Tip, one of the greatest moments in my life, bro, is I'm standing on stage at the Comedy Cellar Dave walks in, you walk in, RZA walks in, and I almost cried on stage, bro. I'm like, this is the greatest moment that could ever happen to me.
Yo, I just gotta say something about him, man, and just my whole connection with them, man. It's like family, you know what I'm saying? Like, the thing that I connect to so much is, especially RZA, is because, you know, when you have a family, you're going to have family matters that come up. You can't divorce them. That's yours.
They're your cousins from Staten Island.
Yeah, you know, and I think that everybody knows about our, you know, about tribes, internal things that we've gone through. You know what I'm saying? Regardless, we still love ours. You know what I mean? I still have, it's so when I look at RZA and them still doing it, you know what I'm saying, with the tours and everything, and how he's been able to move into directing and, you know, just a true artist, and, you know what I'm saying, I look up to him, and that's my bro, you know what I'm saying? And the dude is like, he's just so severely talented still, and just has that passion and just the joy, like the volition to just do that next shit. And it spreads throughout the whole crew. And I'm so happy that they whole crew is still doing good. You know what I'm saying?
Me too, man.
Like, everybody got their own thing. I'm so happy for mine. I'm happy when I get up and I see Ali doing this thing, when I see Jarobi doing this thing. You know what I'm saying? I miss fighting. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just happy. Even our extendeds, you know, when I see Buster doing this thing, when I see Consequence doing this thing, when I see Most and all that, like, it's just a great feeling. You know what I'm saying? So to be able to, like, say, yo, I could actually call Garizza. You know, I could actually call Large Professor. I could actually call Rosenberg, I could call Nas. You know what I'm saying? It's the community thing. It goes back to that what we was talking about, but specifically with RZA and be able to share with the Wu brothers, because we all kind of started on the same plate. You know, New York City, 70s babies, crack. You know what I'm saying? Niggas getting bodied. You know what I'm saying? Shit was fucked up. Crime rate was crazy. And niggas was able to, like, do it. And that's why it's so sweet on this side. You know what I'm saying? And I can speak to Jay, and Jay's like, yo, beloved. You know what I'm saying? Because we was there. We'd be seeing each other in the streets.
It's so crazy. Y'all like, have all been there.
Like, we were kids. You know what I'm saying? And we made it. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a great thing, man. It's just a great thing. I wish this for the Blue Faces and Sexy Reds and the Kendricks, and I wish them to be able to get to this age to have. Well, no, but I still wish that the feeling is so good that you want others to feel it, right? That whole adage.
But what you said there was a mouthful, Tip, because, you know, obviously we don't know how Sexy Red or Blueface or how they'll play out.
I don't know. But with
Kendrick, though, you can say, you know, that at some point, I would have to think we're going to get to that place where Kendrick will have a bunch of other people, you know, the Coles, the Rockies, the Schoolboy Qs, the guys. They did have a nice little community there on the way up that I would hope they get to, you know, celebrate on that side in a similar way one day.
Yeah, no, I think they will. And they're going to definitely have anniversary celebrating their masterworks. And when they're able to look back at it, I wish them to be, you know, in places of health, mentally, physically, spiritually, to be able to, you know, recant some of these stories and some of that time, because it just helps you, you know. I say I'm a junkie in that way, because I chase it. You know, I'm spoiled. I've been able to have, you know, success at a great level, and not just once. And I've been able to have it and share it with people that I love and respect dearly. So, you know, that's enough to make me want that again. you know what I'm saying, again and again. You know what I'm saying? So it's just great, man. I appreciate y'all. I love y'all, man.
Tip, we wanted to make sure we celebrated today. It's the bit to me, it's just as important a music day as there is. It's the most. Sometimes, I don't know if I've ever told you this, or either of you, sometimes I feel cliched when people say to me, considering like how deep I am in hip hop, and they're like, oh, you're a hip hop guy, what's your favorite group and favorite album? Sometimes I almost even feel cliched saying A Tribe Called Quest, Midnight Marauders, because like, of course it's what I would say. You know what I mean? It is that sort of defining for so many people. Like I said to RZA earlier, those two albums were the first great, great hip hop albums that I saw other white kids who weren't as into rap appreciating. Because before that, the white kids who liked rap liked the pop, like really pop, whatever stuff. But now, between y'all two, throw in maybe Cypress Hill. You know what I mean? It was different. And like, so now.
A lot of people be not talking about Cypress too. Cypress was a motherfucker too.
We just had mugs, bro.
We did deep dive into Cypress just a couple weeks ago.
And Naughty.
We had Tretch too.
We just had Naughty too.
We had the back to back. But like, for example, when I'm at Thanksgiving in a few weeks and my friend Chauncey, who's a professor of philosophy at Dickinson, comes over and we talk about life and just everything, you and Bobby, like the level of informing that you guys did to sort of the way we see the world, the way we see art, it's just like, it's so important. Like that this moment is not just like, it's fun and it's a good time, but it's also actually culturally important for like making people. You just pointed out earlier, Tip, you're like, yo, it's crazy, it won't go away, the commercial with Greg Nice. Bro, that's because you raised people like me and Syph. Syph and I are just losers doing a podcast, but the people, the execs making the commercials are us too.
Yeah, are us, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And Q-Tip, like, my mom didn't have an extensive record collection when I was a kid. Everything I learned about jazz, funk, soul comes from studying your music. It's reading every interview you ever did, trying to find every sample ever. I remember the day I bought Bob James 1 with Nautilus. It's like the first sampled record I bought, which led me down a very expensive hobby. And then I became a 5%er because of the influence of Brand Nubian and Wu-Tang. You know what I'm saying? So like, yeah, you guys put out great albums on this day 30 years ago, but you also shaped our fucking lives, man. And for that, I want to say thank you, because I love who I am because of the great upbringing that you indirectly were responsible for.
Thank you, bro. But, you know, the last thing, I don't know, man, the last thing I could say is,
You got the Serato out?
Yeah, Serato's on.
Oh, that shit, man. Come on, man. Bro. Wu-Tang forever, try forever.
Wu-Tang, baby.
Wu-Tang forever, try forever, man. Let's go, let's get him. Another 30, man. Let's get it.
Happy 30th, Tip. We love you. Personally, professionally, everything.
Love
we
you,
love
man.
You.
Yeah, man. Thank you, bro. Thank you so much.
Later, man. Syph, I think we did a good episode.
I don't even care if this ever comes out, bro. To be able to talk to Q-Tip and the RZA at the same time for no fucking reason. Who the fuck are we? Who the fuck are we?
But you know who we are?
Who are we?
We are... And they're okay. Here's who we are. We are the nerds who want to have this conversation, of which there are many. But as much as you and I will joke and say that we are nothing, we are of the level where we can get people like that to jump on and have the conversation.
It's more fun to say we're nobody.
No. But no, there's validity to it.
No.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, we hit the line of We are the nerds who want to have the deep dive, but we've made it far enough to get respect from these people we idolize.
Yeah.
This, I'm not going to sit here and suck our own dicks at the end of the episode.
Come on, somebody's got to do it.
But that
ain't no,
was...
Ain't no Carhartt girls doing it.
Nope. Well, yeah, I heard you. I don't want to talk about married life, you know? But wow, that was fucking cool, man. I can't believe, y'all, first of all, I can't believe you called RZA. And then I love that he said sorry at the end.
Sorry.
Yo, no, and then really RZA was sorry.
Like, yo, my bad, this is Q-Tip's interview. Like, no, please don't go. Please don't go.
I know you're busy.
I
was like, and I can't tell if that's because like you have a concert tonight and you don't want to talk to us, or if you're actually that polite that you think.
It's both.
It's a little both. Okay,
but we also already spoke to you today.
Oh yeah, bro. So I don't know the order of what you guys are getting everything. All I know is this. This one is for everybody, and we hope that if you love this, you'll hit subscribe. If you're watching it on YouTube, you'll subscribe to the YouTube. You'll go find the podcast. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/JuanEpasLife. This is why we do it. This is why we continue to do the show. Sife has been incredibly busy. Obviously, I'm fucking always busy. But recently, between Mugs and Tretch, the West Side Gun, Do It All Do. I did my own interview with Nicholas F that I put up that I loved. I just did one with Rome Streets that was similar. I love that I'm getting some of these newer artists ones in that make sense, though. They tell a part of that are still part of the Juanep story. We appreciate you guys following along for the journey. And on this most important hip hop Juanep day, we appreciate you all.
Facts.
Big shout out to Monster Energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we got some cool stuff coming with Monster Energy soon. Definitely subscribe to the Patreon, because that's always going
to
be
a way to give us money, and we want it.
That's a way to support. Thank you for the tip.
Oh.
Listen, Patreon is us serving you a cup of coffee and then flipping that iPad around. And like, you want to press 20%, 15%.
Yo, but I have to admit, by the way, I've gotten bad these days, bro. I'm tipping everybody. It's annoying.
I know. It's bad.
Like, honestly, everything that comes up where it's like, want to tip? I'm like, I've never tipped at this before. But
bro, okay. You know, when I come home, I got to go over the George Washington Bridge, and I always stop at the first gas station. So it's technically still in Jersey, so they have to pump the gas. I'm starting to tip like $5 to the gas pumper.
I've never tipped gas.
Because I'm thinking like, they get nothing.
I know, that's actually, and it's so helpful. I love it. That's crazy.
So yeah, man, this is awesome, man. Thanks for arranging this, Rosenberg.
You're very well. I'm glad it worked out, bro. We stumbled into it.
I'm happy you did this, because lately, I just want to say this and then we got to go. Lately, I'm not, your suit game, your watch game, your little turtleneck game, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it at all.
I don't know why you're saying
And every
that.
Time I look at your Instagram, I feel like you're losing a little bit of your hip-hop soul. Just a little bit.
I saw your fucking, you of all people. This piece of shit. I was actually hot. I wanted to fight back with you over that when he was like, I see what you're doing. You're less hip-hop. Then he says this while he's on literally like essentially what amounts to a white trash cruise. Okay? He's on a white trash cruise. I'm in New York. I was like, this piece of but the thing is, it was such an easy way to get me, because I'm sitting there looking all suited. I do have to tell you one thing I realized that's a problem with the suit. So my knees have been hurting, and my friend and Jeff the Nerd yesterday was like, bro, are you wearing those like those hard bottom shoes? Are you wearing those walking in the streets in New York?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. He was like, that's why your knees hurt, dude.
Yeah.
He was like, you don't have insoles in there or anything? I was like, no.
You don't do like one of them girls that works in Wall Street where she got the sneakers in her bag. You got to start putting your orthopedics in the bag.
It's so funny that you said that, because everyone's said that. It reminds me of this Billy Joel song. You want me to be this Billy Joel song? Modern Woman. This is what Sife pictures me. My favorite thing is in the early bars. Listen how 80 this is. He says, with her high top sneakers of Italian design.
You see her sitting with a car. coffee and a paper with the high top sneakers of Italian design. Long boots there, she aggravates attention. Makes up her face while she makes up her mind.
Yeah, that's me. I'm gonna be a modern woman walking with my Gucci loafers and a backpack.
I gotta poke the bear every once in a while, but man, you bring the hip hop, man. I appreciate you setting this up today.
No, I'm trying my best. Let's just keep doing it. It's been good, man. I saw our patrons have gone up. Billy June got a job, so we may be rid of him soon. A lot of good things happening for the podcast. Just kidding, Billy, when you hear this, I want you to know this, because if we say it to you, you'll be crazy. So I just want to say this so everyone can hear it, including you. We pray that you keep killing it on your job. I like to believe that the kind of actual emotional abuse that Sife has given you over the last decade is the reason that you are killing it the way you are. And furthermore, if you have to work, you don't have to feel obligated like, I need to, please guys, send me the show. I'm on a plane right now, but I'll upload it from the airport.
I just took 4 Valium, but I think I can upload the show. There's Go-Go Wi-Fi on the plane.
I went to gogoinflight.com and I'm going to upload. Billy, you're a part of the show no matter what you do. If you have to go do work, we're going to figure it out. And whenever you pop on, you're on. You have a permanent seat here, okay? We love you.
That being said, the way Andrew Tate, you know, my boy, Andrew Tate.
Wait, I'm not a big fan, but keep going.
Hold on. Listen to his concept.
Okay.
He doesn't make social media material.
Okay.
Everybody who's a fan or an advocate makes the social media material. So all our fans.
Oh, you know what? I may not like Andrew Tate. I like that idea.
Please, if you see any clip you like off of a YouTube video from this show, chop it up.
Bro,
send it, please. We'll post it. We'll tag you.
We'll give you. No, not like that. You. If you do it regularly, you show. We will. Anytime we do an event around you, we'll. Sipes in town doing comedy. We got you. Whatever it is,
always.
Like that actually would be a huge way to support us. And you could just download CapCut, fuck around, be like, yo, they didn't post this clip. We'll post it. Send it to us.
Yeah. And then also just to
wait.
Say
so
this.
Sipes, they can pay us and also do the work for us.
Listen, WANAP fans, I never want you to pay for a comedy show. WANAP fans, always DM me. I got you.
Wow, that's dope.
WANAP fan, when you come up to my comedy shows and you're fucking by yourself, you fucking losers.
No offense.
When you come to my shows, I got this. Hit me. WANAP fans get special treatment no matter what.
Shouts to Emilio Sparks, Billy June, Monster Energy. Happy 30th anniversary of this great day. We love you.
Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. acast.com.